Did you realize that Kirk Cameron, his character Mike Seaver, had a best friend named Boner on Growing Pains? And that Bill Cosby's TV son Theo Huxtable had a best friend named Cockroach? What the fuck were we thinking in the 80s? We just accepted it. Yeah, how do you like them apples? What the fuck are we thinking? What was up with the... We just accepted that this dude's best friend on the show's name's Boner? It's my friend Boner. Yeah, we just call him that. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff I guess you can't do now. Well, I mean, do people still watch TV now? Like sitcoms? Like... I don't know. Like, do people watch... I don't know. It seems like it's more interesting on podcasts now. Like, it's not forced. It's not contrived. It's... If you want to know about somebody, you want to listen to maybe a lengthier, like, an actual discussion, you know? Instead of, like, a 6.5 minute just compartmentalized, gratuitous... bunch of nonsense like on all these late night talk shows that are just like, hey, tell me about your stupid movie or your piece of shit sitcom that nobody cares about. Like, do people watch that stuff anymore? I think it's all streaming, isn't it? But man, the 80s are coming back. It's a trip. Like, that show Stranger Things is bringing shit back, man. It's bringing the 80s back. It brought Kate Bush back, of all people. Keep running up that hill. Keep running. I hate that song. I think she wrote that song intentionally for me to hate it. I think that was their reaction. It's so awful. It's such crap. Like, and it's gotta be, it seems like it's some kind of feminist anthem, which, fuck it, if you want to be a feminist, I don't give a fuck, but I don't know, it seems like she's trolling us. It seems like she's like gaslighting us, you know? She's just putting it on us that you know, that we hate her song, you know? She seems like the type that would do that. And maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. The 80s were weird, man. I don't condone anything about them. I grew up, I mean, that was the epicenter of my upbringing, you know? Like I was tripping out. Okay, now this isn't an 80s thing. It's not an 80s. Like, so, it's just weird that, you know, in 82, 83, 84, we had a senile president, just like we do now. Nobody even uses that word anymore, senile. Like, senility. It's all dementia now. But we hated Russia. We were there was a Cold War with Russia. Here we are again. And all these songs are kind of making this weird comeback, right? All these songs, I don't know. Fuck. What? Like, the 80s were such a distinctive, weird era. And I don't know. I guess I was kind of like on the fringes in that time period anyway. Because I didn't, like, to watch, like, MTV, you had to have cable. And I didn't have cable, man. Like, you know, I wasn't from around here, man. This ain't my scene, man. This ain't my neighborhood, man. So I'd go to, like, my buddy's house or something. My buddy Steve Holt. And he had, I don't know, they had a little more money. So they had cable box. So MTV was on. So you'd have, like, you'd watch, like, Van Halen, Jump, that played every, you know, 14 seconds. Yeah, Cyndi Lauper, She's So Unusual, Girls Just Want to Have Fun, Prince, Madonna, Huey Lewis in the News, a little bit of Devo kind of creeping in. But MTV just made, like, Dire Straits. I want my MTV. The Police, all these bands just were, like, skyrocketed to fame from that channel. You know, the Eurythmics, the Pet Shop Boys. What the fuck, you know? But just, it was huge. They don't even play music anymore. All they do is play, like, the Rob Dyrdek show on a, you know, 24-hour loop. Whatever that show is where everybody, like, with the bad videos, where everybody's, like, busting their coccyx in half, breaking their pelvis in half on doing skate stuff, you know, and Flock of Seagulls, another one out, Talking Heads, you know, burning down the house, my house, wait till the party's over. Cool, baby. Strange but not a stranger. I'm an ordinary guy. Burning down the house. But I would, you know, there's some, I guess there's also a few of those bands that kind of got lumped in there with the other. I wouldn't consider Talking Heads like an 80s band. Because they were like, shit, they had stuff coming out in the 70s. 70, I think 77 was when they came out with Psycho Killer. Qu'est-ce que c'est? Better run away. Great band, one of my favorites. That's where Radiohead got their name for their band, from their song, from the Talking Head song, Radiohead. And another kind of miscategorized band, not necessarily Britpop, but it kind of came up in the Britpop era, the 90s, mid-90s, you know. But another, you know, well, I've been thinking a lot about Kenny Rogers. I don't know why today was just one of those days. You know, it happens. Yeah, it happens. You get those days where you just start thinking about the gambler on a warm summer's eve on a train bound for nowhere. Like, that was a... like, that song, I had to look it up. It came out in 78, so it's not technically a an 80s song, but they made a TV movie out of it. And The Gambler, and I never saw it, but I knew that song word for word. Why? Not because I'm a country guy. Absolutely not. But because it was radio friendly. Like, they just played, they had an amalgamation of all these bands, you know. I mean, you name it. It was like Dexy's Midnight Runners. Men Without Hats. And then The Gambler. And then Girls Just Want to Have Fun. And then, you know, some bullshit. And so you just listen to everything. Little Glenn Campbell, like a rhinestone cowboy. And, but The Gambler, man, that was huge. That song was huge. Huge. You know? And it was kind of cross genres, you know? Even, particularly when he was, like, doing duets with Dolly, you know? Dolly was, like, she's one of the hot, you know, back in the day, like, I have to say, she's one of the most beautiful women. Just naturally beautiful, but, you know. Islands in the stream, that is what we are. No one in between. What a dumb song. But, hey, you know what? It sewed the needle. It threaded the needle of all, you know, kind of cut through all those genres of, like, pop, mainstream, radio-friendly, country, this, that, you know. Fucking Canadian rock, I don't know. Fuck, but The Gambler, man, that was huge. Like, matter of fact, they made a few movies based on some Kenny Rogers songs, or in and around. Like, they made another TV movie about everyone considered him the coward of the county, and about this guy that was just kind of like. He had, like, retard strength, you know, because he would never fight, you know. The Gatlin boys would always tease him, you know. The Gatlin boys. until they fuck with his girlfriend, Becky, or the girl that he liked, or somebody he was stalking, or whatever. But when they started messing with Becky, oh, that was it. Oh, you could have heard a pin drop when he stopped to lock the door. Oh, gee. Oh, yeah. Gallon boys, they all got their clock lean, man. He fucking separated their nose from their faces when they messed with the, you know, what his name was, Tommy. His dad died in prison. There's always like a backstory too, because, you know, he didn't want to like lose, you know, he didn't want to lose his cool, right? Because if he did, it was all over. Well, you know, I mean, just ask any of the Gatlin boys, right? But the Gambler. What a strange song when you really deconstruct that one. You know, on a warm summer's eve, on a train bound for nowhere. Like, why would you get on a train that's going nowhere? It's bound for nowhere? Like, is that what it said? Like, I'm, you know, you're looking up, you know, the Amtrak. You're like, well, I'm leaving Sac Valley Station at noon, and then I got to get to nowhere by like 2:30 at the latest. On a train bound for nowhere, I met up with the Gambler. We were both too tired to sleep. Never understood that line until it was reused in a Nirvana song. You know, you probably plucked that directly from the Gambler. You know. I'm so tired, I can't sleep. Sit and drink Pennyroyal tea. From In Utero, Nirvana. But, so, evidently he gets on the train with this guy who's a gambler. He's just sitting there. They're both just sitting there, not saying anything. You know, so he sits down and he's like, I met up with the Gambler. We were both too tired to sleep, so we took turns of staring at the window and the darkness. The boredom overtook us and he began to speak. He said, son, I faced a life out of reading people's faces, knowing what the cards were by the way they held their eyes. So if you don't mind me saying, I can see you're out of aces. For a taste of your whiskey, I'll give you some advice. So this guy just kind of butts in. He just kind of like work, you know, wedges himself into the conversation. So I handed him my bottle, and he drank down my last swallow. Then he bummed a cigarette and asked me for a light. And the night got deathly quiet, and his face lost all expression. Said, if you're going to play the game, boy, you got to learn to play it right. You got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them. So this guy, this kind of, what would you call him? I mean, he was a gambler, but he was also kind of like a freeloader, too. Like, he took his last swallow of whiskey. And why are you getting on an Amtrak with just a bottle of whiskey? Like, I would be real leery of that passenger. Right, but he sat down with him. The Gambler took his last swig of whiskey, and then he starts churning out advice. Hey, so if you really want to keep your, you know, your triglycerides up, and if you really want to keep your, you know, your cortisol levels in check, give me the last. Can I have the rest of your whiskey? Oh, and a cigarette. You got any smokes? Hey, bro, you got any smoke? Is this guy like a meth head? Is this guy one of those guys at the gas station? Is like, hey, bro, you got a smoke? You got a cigarette? Can I have a cigarette? You got a cigarette? And then he just starts churning on advice on how to hold him and fold him and hold him and scold him and all that shit. But good old Kenny Rogers. I think he was born with a beard. Have you ever seen Kenny Rogers without a beard? Like, he's like, because I was 7 years old when that song came out, right? And he was old and had a beard then. I think that's how he was born. He just came out kind of gray with a beard. And, but he's the Gambler, man. He's Kenny Rogers. So notorious. So notorious was that song that the Texas Rangers pitcher, Kenny Rogers, they used to call him the Gambler. Oh, what's his name? Chris, what's his name on ESPN, the announcer, gave everybody the nicknames. gave Kenny Rogers, the pitcher, the nickname the Gambler. But in the end, so like they're sitting on the train, he's doling out his advice about, you know, how to keep your weight down, or, you know, how to play cards, and, you know, how to use, you know, the, you know, how to turn your underwear inside out if you have, you know, if you're not showering or something. I don't know. And in the end, he's like, and in his final words, I found an ace that I could keep. You got to know when. No. So the guy dies. Like, they're sitting at the table on Amtrak, probably having to wear masks. You know, they really force those masks on the Amtrak. And this motherfucker just up and dies on him. Just, you know, was circling the drain. He was circling the drain, and then just went tits up. Right there, like if that would be really alarming if somebody just died in front of me on an Amtrak. I'd be like, shit, should I get the porter, or should I just hit that button, or what do I do? Should I hit the brake? Like, should I hit that, pull that cord, that just the one that says, in any emergency, do not pull this cord? Like, that's what I'd be doing. But that, well, that's the Gambler for you. You got to know when to hold 'em. Know when to fold them. Know when to walk away. Know when to run. So, I seem to have stumbled across the insider tip that the fashion industry doesn't want you to know. I'm cracking the code on all this. I'm blowing the lid off this. I'm blowing it wide open. The insider tip that the fashion industry doesn't want you to know. That industry that sets up those fashion shows, those catwalk runways in Milan or wherever they're at, with people like sitting on the side like Kardashians and Kanye's and other things that start with K, like Kate Bush. This is invaluable information, though, that I've discovered. Like, I don't even know if I could... I'm not even sure I could even be telling you this, like, without thinking, like, I'm probably putting myself in danger by telling you this. But here it goes. Fucking clothes suck. Yeah, that's right. It's naked man time. Naked man. So coming up this August 4th, this Thursday, or as the French say, jeudi, it's on, it's go time. People flooding in from all over the tri-state area and parts thereabouts, unknown whereabouts, all kinds of people just showing up to pay money to not wear clothes, to enjoy a weird-ass bunch of weirdos like me, you know, to hang out with other weirdos. And so that's what's up. We, let's see, we came out Saturday, in the park, I think it was the 4th of July. And we set up, we wrapped up, beat my lady out to Laguna by about 40 minutes to set up the gear. And, you know, it just goes to show you that you don't have to have a survivalist patriot mentality. The truth's out there, people. Government's going to take over, man. They got chemtrails and everything, man. But all these survivalists that are sitting, they're out there. They're literally out there just I do have a weird, morbid fascination with the notion that there's these guys out there that have got all this high-end hunting equipment, camping equipment, scopes, knives, guns, backpacks, Yeti coolers, Yeti fucking, Yeti this, Yeti that. And, to do what? To go sit out in the woods by yourself and just stare at your little thatched roof, little A-frame that you made out of, like, you know, birch birch logs? I don't know. But no, the fact of the matter is, man, you can just get one of those dumbass little fucking Chinese-made Walmart tents, you know. Go out there, you throw that shit up, you buy, you grab yourself a Chipotle burrito that'll sit, fuck, that shit'll sit in the foil for days. And a couple bottles of water and you're good to go, man. You set up and it's instant. You just instant. I'm back out there, me and my lady, we're back out there, we're strutting our stuff. And we just instantly, like I say, you just instantly just start, your anxieties just start kind of, the edge just comes off, right? And I go out there to swim. I feel like I'm out there like, you know, I feel like Jack Nicholson just fucking swimming around in the pool, you know, doing my laps. Just that to me feels like success. Whenever I can get out there and I can do a dozen laps or so in the pool. I do a little cold water, hot water therapy. So I do about a trillion laps in the cold pool. Then I hit the spa. I loosen that up. I let it loosen the joints up a little. Then I get back in the pool. You know, the pool's probably like 60 degrees. Spa's probably like 100. A little back and forth action. Good for the old ticker, I assume. I'm hoping. So we're getting prepped and ready. We had to get out there early because, it doesn't kick off till the 4th on Thursday, but people started wandering in. Like, it's packed, it's pretty nicely packed out already as we speak. And, so we had to stake out a spot. Because even though, it's being out there since Saturday, knowing full well that things don't really kick off until Thursday, there is, we reserved our spot out there. It's in the, we staked out a little territory, because if you don't, see, what'll happen is, we don't necessarily have, we're not obliged to just stay there, all day, every day, either. We staked out our spot, our funky ass little tent, our little survivalist tents out there, and because in the next few days, people's gonna start trickling in, just one by one, just packing that place out. This is, like I said, the Burning Man of clothing optional resorts, right? This is it. This is the one people have been waiting for all year, the usual suspects are out there. I've already bumped into all the gay boys, all them gay boys out there that I was hanging out with last year, and I don't know. They kind of, some of them scratched their head like. They looked at me like, do I remember you? It's funny. But I just mobbed them like, hey, I know you. You know, just going out there just being a total schmo. But it's a good vibe. And we're right on the lake. Actually, we're on the peninsula where there's a little peninsula that divides the lake. And we're right in the center. And it's like, if you looked at it from above, it would look like a Georgia O'Keeffe painting, you know, the real suggestive ones with like the little orchid with the big long, you know, clit looking like piece in the middle those lilies, the little calla lilies or whatever they are that she painted, the white calla lily with the big clit looking thing in the middle, you know, very vaginal. But yeah, from a satellite view, we look like we're sitting right on the clit. We're camped on the clit. And so it's gonna be barbaric. It's gonna be raw, a lot of fun energy, a lot of good energy. People, you know, everyone has their offering. They're gonna be doing an offering, whether it's, you know, homemade scones, espresso, fruit cocktails, beverages, NyQuil margaritas, you know, whatever. giving away hats, clothing. One sign I noticed out there too that they're doing, it's not during the Naked Man festivities, but it's during the it's afterwards. They're doing a talent show out there, and they need performers. They need comics. They need musicians. They need skit performers. And I thought to myself, well, this is my chance. This could be my chance for comedy. So I came up with a couple of intro bits. I think you're they only need you to do a few minutes. Go up there, do like, I think 5 minutes maybe. So you go up there and say, hey, welcome to Laguna, everybody, where every day is Casual Friday. You know, where every day is laundry day. How y'all doing? Good to see you. You know, you're a good-looking crowd, but I think a lot of you are just the types that instead of having those nightmares, like, are you the type that have the nightmares that you're walking through the halls of your high school fully clothed? And, yeah, you're a good-looking crowd, all right? And it's good to be here. You know, you go out there, do a little crowd work. Hey, where are you from? Hey, Cincinnati, well, that's you. That's my hometown. Hey, how you doing? Where are you from? Des Moines. Hey, that's my hometown. Hey, where are you from? Galt, that's your hometown. Hey, how you doing? You know, just shit like that. Fucking, what do you expect? I got no clothes on, man. So I don't know if I'll do it or not, but we'll see. I'm gonna do some brainstorming while I'm out there. But this is it. So when this comes out, it'll be what, three. Well, as we speak, it'll be Monday when this comes out, and then so it'll be Tuesday, Wednesday. Wednesday is when it's all happening. Like, if you haven't staked out your spot by then, you're fucked. You're fucked, man. Because it, like, it's festival. This is a festival. This is a Festivus for the rest of us. You know what I'm saying? We're going to be airing our grievances. We're going to get out the Festivus pole. And it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time. Had by all. How is it that you can just go out and just work a day's work and come back to the obscure and strange and grizzly bearless forest of Wilton, California, and just live like a naked hobo? Not many places, except this one. So I'm stoked. I can't complain. It's part of the summer itinerary now. Like, I have a whole syllabus now that I've started to slap together for my summers. But this is on the list now, right? So, but other than that, I mean, it's the one unifying thing I think I have to say is out here, it's an American crowd. Despite your own background, despite your own hang-ups, or your own neuroses, your own anxieties, your own ideologies. Did I already say that? Despite your own tastes, despite your own take on things. It's definitely it's an American crowd, you know? You've got, like I say, you've got the real hardcore rednecks, you know? Then you got the hippies. Then you got the... Oh, and then the theme. Speaking of Stranger Things, the theme this year is Alien, the Mothership. So that should be interesting, because these people, maybe that's the one unifying thing out of all of them, is the we're all a little kind of like letting our freak flag fly. We're a little out there. We're a little kind of down with the aliens. I think we all kind of believe the truth's out there. I mean, there's the bits of, you know, fringe thinking, stuff on the cusp, the Bigfoot crowd, you know, that's somehow, it seems like a harder sell than aliens, but they're out there too. You know, the Bigfoot crowd's out there. The gay boys are out there, you know. I don't see too many hardcore lesbians, you know, the flat tops and stuff like that. But it'll be, like I say, it's going to be the one thing about what I talk about this ad nauseum, but the fact that everything jives out there, everything kind of gets, everything rolls with it, right? Because you know, these people out there aren't stupid. They can size you up just like anybody else. They know who's what, and what's what, and who's who, and why, and where, and how, and when, and what for. And but the bottom line, the bottom common denominator was we're all Americans. You know what we do. What we do better than anything is we don't solve problems. We overwhelm them. We overwhelm our problems, right? we take it to task. I was watching that. That was on like a, on some kind of like a World War II. That line came from like a World War II doc I was watching this week, which is really cool, really interesting. But it's a great line. Like Americans, we don't solve our problems, we just overwhelm them. Right? It's not feasible to kind of have a tidy little answer, you know, to button everything up with, because, you know, it's like, you know, at the end of your like your career, like your profession, like whatever it is you do, you know, when you get in your 50s or your 60s, you know, you don't just like, well, any day now I'll be done and then life will be good, you know. Any day now life's gonna, you know, change the direction that I want it to go. You know, I'll get done with this clocking in and clocking out and staring at this cubicle wall, and then I'll be free, and then I'll be free to live my life. No, man. Do it now. Do it now, man. Figure out a way, I don't know, to make it work. Like, I got lucky with this thing. This, again, like I tell you, is like, I stumbled across this place by accident, just looking for some camping. I just was looking for some cheap camping, and this is cheaper than anywhere I'd ever come across, ever seen, read about. I'm like, what's the catch? Oh, you gotta be naked. You know, it's like that. It's like Bosom Buddies, another 80s sitcom, right? With Tom Hanks, his first show. You know, where they get their apartment gets demolished, or they get kicked out of their apartment or something, so they got to find a cheap apartment, and they find like a super cheap one. Oh, what's the catch? Oh, you just got to dress like a woman. Oh, okay, no problem. Like, I don't know, I mean, that would probably be the reverse, you know, the carbon copy, or the negative, or the polar opposite, say, the parallel universe of coming out here to this bucket of weirdos, right? Is like going out, maybe not to the woods, but just going out. Well, that would be even interesting too. Maybe just an entire compound of just a bunch of cross dressers, you know, which is interesting because you know, RuPaul is she's got a ranch in Wyoming, which I thought was fascinating. Like that guy doesn't give a fuck, man. Like, he's been strutting that shit. Like, that's another MTV kind of, like, you know, she came up out of relative obscurity, probably just did a lot of burlesque or something in the back in the day. Bunch of, you know, some what do you call them, like doing some of those shows, like in Palm Springs, like my buddy Mike's cousin got to go to, you know, drag shows, like just doing like little drag shows here and there, and then all of a sudden, bam, just blows up on MTV, you know. Work, move to the left. Work, move to the right. Work, move to left, sashay, shante, right? Remember that? That was in the, was that the 80s or that early, that was early 90s probably actually. But you're going up into like, that's a fucking, Wyoming's a red state. There's only like 814 people in that whole state too. And I think all, you know, 813 of them are rednecks. So yeah, good for RuPaul, which, think of his real name is like Carl something. He's like 59, 60 years. He's like 60 years old. Isn't that fascinating? But hey, doesn't look a day over 34. But good for him, her, they, them, RuPaul. But yeah, that's about what's going on out here at Laguna de Balzac. You know. It's just everywhere you turn, it's like a big giant. It's like looking at a couple of cantaloupes hanging in a old woman's pantyhose. Just balls, just hanging as low as you can go out here. Just brushing the tops of the pieces of grass, you know, where it's kind of grown up a little, you know, like where it's like a little long in the grass, where you're. Bottom, your balls just tickling the tops of those grass. You see a lot of that out there. A lot of that. They're all good people though. You can talk. You can shit. They all wave to you. It's its own community. It's its own little biosphere. But it's gonna ratchet. It's gonna ratchet up a notch here in a few days. People are trickling in, and it's gonna get nasty. That was the last year. That's when I ran into my buddy Dan, who I saw. I saw him again when my lady and I were out there a couple months ago. The guy looks like Doug Flutie. Looks exactly, he's the spitting image of Doug Flutie. So much so I couldn't even remember his name when I ran into him. But I had to introduce him to my lady. And I wanted to say Dan, but I wasn't bold enough. But that, yeah, I'm sure he'll be out there. That dude's a trip, you know. He just kind of, he just pops up out of nowhere. He's like Bugs Bunny, you know. He just kind of pops up out of the ground there. He's like he took a wrong turn at Albuquerque somewhere, and boom, there's Dan. And then he ends up, you know, that's what the place is. It seems like it's almost notorious for, is like people like him that just show up, and then all of a sudden you're in some kind of like weird MDMA menage a trois situation, like a swingers. You know, you abruptly end up. Accidentally in some kind of swinger situation at the end of the night in some like modular home with, you know, elderly people. I don't know. Is that wrong? Is that? I don't know. I'll let you be the judge. But so far it's coming together without a hitch. I'm liking it so far. So why is any of this of interest to anybody other than me? It's not. But. What I did was on Thursday, I rounded up a couple more books, went down to Midtown, downtown to Shantan, and I got me a couple of books. I almost bought four, but I reeled it in. I bought, I got a book called The Devil and Sonny Liston, which is about the dark underbelly of American life in the 50s during during and around the reign of Sonny Liston, and kind of his, I guess he had a fairly dark world, a lot of connections to mob bosses and stuff like that. But it's written by this guy, Nick Toschus, or Toschus, T-O-S-C-H-E-S. I can never, I don't know, I've never heard his name pronounced, so I don't know if I'm saying it right. But he's one of these guys that I've been wanting to read anything by. He did a biography on Dean Martin. It's supposed to be pretty badass. He did a biography on... Jerry Lee Lewis, yeah, which would be like, talk about the dark underbelly of fucking life, Southern life, no less. I mean, just the fact that, you know, as a dude married his 13-year-old cousin, man, I mean, come on, we can talk for days about that kind of shit, right? But The other book I got was, it's called Half Asleep in Frog Pajamas by Tom Robbins, which I've already read, but it's a fictionalized kind of portrayal of this guy who's, he's kind of a seeker and a wanderer. It's kind of loosely, there's characters based loosely on Terrence McKenna, the acid guru. Talks about this main character, Larry Diamond, coming back from Timbuktu, you know, this really mysterious place that, in my own theorization, is geographically centered perfectly in between the pyramids of Egypt and where the lost city of Atlantis is supposed to be. And it was a big trade route city back, you know, in the centuries ago. And many scholars have traveled through the desert to find this place for whatever reason. So it has something to, it's kind of on par with the whole alien theme going on out here. But the other two books that I almost pulled the trigger on, I just decided not to, was I keep wanting to get something by John Irving, because I've read a few of his books. The one I almost got was Hotel New Hampshire, which they made a movie out of with Rob Lowe and what's her name from Silence of the Lambs, Jodie Foster, back in the day, and Beau Bridges, of all people, about this family, and they convert an old schoolhouse into a hotel. And then the circus comes to town. It's kind of bizarre. It's dark. It's a dark book. But the other one was from my guy Bill Buford, the guy that went to France to learn how to cook. But this was prior to all that, when he was in England and he ran around with the soccer hooligans. It's called Among the Thugs. It's about the soccer hooligan culture. These guys are insane, but hard book to track down. I found it, but I didn't end up pulling the trigger because I didn't want to spread myself too thin. But the thing I liked about all of it was, or the common theme I maybe with two or three of the books, was the duality of what was going on in the author's head. Because I like it when, I guess the reason why, I'm not a big fan of singularity as opposed to duality. The singularity is, like I was saying, in regard to, like, you know, you work a job your whole life, like my grandfather did for 40 years. Sorry, folks, had to edit that part out. My lady gave me a call right mid-broadcast to let me know that she was taking care of her obligations, and she's going to go get a tattoo. So, all kinds of fun and interesting little surprises are taking shape. And I think she mentioned she was going to get my initials on her body. Like, I am going to be forever immortalized on somebody's skin. Like, that's wild. Like, what a difference a year makes, huh? A year ago, she wasn't even talking to me. And here I am. Now I'm in ink. Now I'm inked. Now I'm like, I'm part of her legacy, right? Oh, that's weird. But I don't know. It's a touching little memorial of sorts, you know? I personally don't have any tattoos, and I don't know. Maybe one day. Who knows? I don't know. I think you go to hell, though, if you get a tattoo. Isn't that right? Isn't that what one of them books told you? So, but getting back on track, though, speaking of books. So, what I like about the authors of these books is the duality. So, like, I know John Irving. Like, John Irving's a dark, there's some real dark themes going on. A lot of prostitution, a lot of incest, lots of strange, you know, bears riding bicycles and circuses and stuff like that. Dark underbelly of stuff, right? But a lot of that came from his own, his own personal history of stuff, you know? He wrote a whole book about a wrestler called The 158 Pound Marriage, because he wrestled in in school. I believe he went to like Iowa or something like that. He was a big, big time wrestler, but a lot of that transfers into the, I don't know, for some reason, like the, instead of being so single-mindedly focused on something, you know, like your retirement or your post-retirement, like if you got your foot stuck in a couple different ponds, you know, like it gives your brain a little time to kind of, it, well, first of all, it expands your repertoire, you know, and it makes you, gives you a few extra levels of intrigue or depth, or, you know, like I say, it expands your horizons. It gives you an opportunity to, you know, to round out your tastes, right? So, because, again, like, we all dream about, like, the day that I stop working, I'm gonna just do X, right? Like, whatever that is, right? So, you take a guy, say, like, somebody with strange interests, you know, like, say, Joe Rogan, right? Okay, so he's a pretty easy target, pretty generalized personality, but, because, you know, like, he's into UFC fighting, MMA fighting. He's also into archery, right? He's also a comic, and he's also into health and podcasting and all that shit, right? So, but he also, you know, has the money to just shut it down, shut it all down. He can stop doing whatever he's doing and just kind of live the rest of his life, right? He could literally just walk out the door and say, okay, my career is over. I'm going to go study the pyramids. I'm going to go study Chichen Itza. I'm going to go down to South America. I'm going to go down to Central America. I'm going to go to Egypt. I'm going to figure out, I'm going to explore the mysteries of Timbuktu, you know, in central Western Africa, and see what the hell's going on, and see if I'm going to find Atlantis. But he doesn't. Why? Because again, it's the singularity problem. It's like when you got one single thing, there's no depth there. You'd get, as interesting as that one particular focal point might be, shit, I don't know, I would be bored. Not right away. It would be interesting to kind of plan a trip, say, to go see Chichen Itza or any of those pyramids, right? Like, that would be a fascinating trip. I could literally go down to Central America. I could go down to the, I think it's, well, there's a handful of them in the Yucatan Peninsula, just down the road, just drive down to Mexico, you know, and, you know, check out some crazy ancient civilizations and shit like that. I mean, we got that stuff all over the place, right? But after a week, you'd be like, well, or at least I would. I would be like, you know what else is interesting is aliens, right? Or what else is interesting is sometimes it's just learning a language, or doing something mundane, or learning golf, or playing golf, or learning highlight. What is, like, whatever that is. Like, nobody ever talks about highlight, do they? It's weird. But, or learning how to be a map maker or be a cobbler, like Daniel Day-Lewis. I guess he's making shoes or something like that. And then he just stopped acting, and now he just makes shoes up on some strange cobblery somewhere in some remote vintage little village somewhere or something, which is interesting, but it's only interesting for a couple of days. And then the third day, you're like, well, this is fucking lame. Like, let's go act. Let's go do something. Let's go make a movie, right? See, it gives you a balance and it gives you a depth. So I guess that's kind of why out here, like in the sticks out here in Wilton, out here camping with all these other nut jobs, it's just fun. It's an escape. It's a brief escape. And then you're back into the swing of things, and you can do that for infinity and beyond. You were waiting for that one, weren't you? I get you. But yeah, that's it. That's what's up. That's a weird world. The duality, the you know, drawing from a couple different sources, right? Mixing it up, keeping it lively, being multidimensional, being like the aliens that we're going to see this week, I assume, you know, multidimensional, you know, interdimensional, stuff like that, shit like that, right? Who fucking knows? I don't know. But anyway, I'll keep you all posted. I'll keep you all updated as far as what's up. Maybe my lady, I don't know. My lady's, she's a trip, man. Maybe I'll get an alien tattoo. I don't know. I'll talk at you later. Arrivederci, babies.